Well, now turn to the Word of God in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 12. I'm going to read just a few verses, 38 to 42 of Matthew chapter 12. This being the Word of God, let us hear it and hear it well. Beginning Matthew 12, verse 38. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered, said to them, An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonah, was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than he is here. The queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost part of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. May God bless the reading of his holy, precious word. Again, Lord Jesus, we thank you. We do thank you for this word. We thank you for preserving us by your Spirit through inspiration of the prophets and the apostles, preserving it for us that we may sup upon it any day of the week and every day of the week, and especially on this your day, the Lord's Day, the new Sabbath called the Christian Sabbath. We thank you for your word is truth. And it's in your name we pray, amen. Well, the Bible is clear that there will be mockers in every generation. In the Old Testament, it warns against the mockers, and in the New Testament, it speaks that there will be mockers in the last days. We're in the last days, not the last day, but certainly the last days since Pentecost. We've been there. And there will rise up mockers. In fact, that is probably the tone of many people, the tone of unbelief, if you will, the sign of unbelief, if you will, that they mock what they do not understand. They mock the Word of God, they mock God, they mock Christ, they mock us, you know, and they make fun and ridicule us. And this is no less the case when it comes to Jonah and his fish that we hear about. Jesus is making reference to in this portion of the gospel. In fact, that Jonah was swallowed by a great fish was figured in with in the famous Scopes trial back in 1925. It was between Clarence Darrow and William Jennings Bryan. Darrow, who was the counsel for the defense defending John Scopes against the charge of teaching evolution against Tennessee law, asked the question of Bryan. He said, but when you read that Jonah swallowed the whale, obviously mockingly he said that, when you read that Jonah swallowed the whale or that the whale swallowed Jonah, how do you literally interpret that? To which Brian answered, When I read that a big fish swallowed Jonah, I believe in a God who can make a whale and can make a man and make both do what he pleases. And then Brian, of course, was savaged by the press back in 1924, especially by one H.L. Mencken, who called him a buffoon and said that his defense of biblical creationism was theological bilge. That's no less the case today. They mock and they try to scandalize Christians for their belief in the Bible and what the Word of God says. In fact, liberals go to great pains to explain away all the supernatural occurrences in the Bible. They try to come up with natural reasons for this and that. Of course, they stretch things, and then they just completely deny it. And so that's still the truth today, that they're just not believing what the Word of God says and take it at face value, as it should be taken in most cases. Most people, even in, I'd say, I don't think most of us in the Reformed communities and evangelical communities believe this, but certainly Christians do believe that Jonah, the story of Jonah and the whale, Jonah and the great fish swallowing him, is a parable. It's an allegory. It didn't literally happen. And there are professors in Christian colleges that do not believe the literal interpretation of the fish swallowing Jonah. They believe that it's an allegory. Just like Job is not really true. Oh, that didn't really happen. You know, it's something else. It's to teach some special principles or things like that. But it's not literally true that all those things happened to Job, just like it's not true that a fish swallowed Jonah. Not literally, come on. You don't believe that. You're too sophisticated for that, right? And so to this day, there are people that mock, but then there are also those among us, Christians, who come up with rhyme and reason why it can't be literal. But it's my responsibility to tell you the truth and nothing but the truth, right? From the pulpit, anyway. And this is the truth. I mean, it's quite clear that Jesus took it to be the truth, right? He said, unless Jesus did not wind up in the grave for 3 days and three nights and rise from it. Unless that's a parable, unless that didn't happen, which the liberals say it didn't, and many say it didn't, but unless that didn't happen, then Jonah could be, the story of Jonah could be a parable or an allegory of some sort. But he makes it quite clear. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. One is true, the other must be. Can't have the fish swallowing Jonah not true, just a parable, and Jesus in the grave for 3 days and rising from it true. I mean, that doesn't equate. It doesn't work that way. The parallelism is not there. So it has to be. Either they're both true or they're both not. And so we take it as being true. By the way, just to inform you, not to cause a quibble over this or any kind of turning of the cart, turning over the cart. The word whale is not really used either in the Old Testament, in Jonah, or in the New. It's assumed to be a whale. We understand it to be a whale because of the King James translation. They interpret it that way. But it's not really the Greek word. The Greek word for whale is not used in any of the Gospels. Matthew, Luke, anyone using it. The Old Testament word used in Jonah's case was the word dag. Now, dag is means fish, literally. It means fish, and it's the word that they use, the Phoenicians used for their god, their fish god, named Dagon, in 2 Samuel. The Greek word is the word, our English word comes from the word cetacean. Now, a cetacean is any large fish or mammal, like a whale, like a great white shark, or even a dolphin or a porpoise is a cetacean. So that's the word, the Greek word, used in this text. Not whale. But it could have been a whale. It could have been a great white shark or a sperm whale. Some speculate it could have been a whale shark, a great white shark, a sperm whale. But they're missing the point. That's not the point. For in Jonah chapter 1, verse 17, we clearly read that God prepared a great fish. God prepared a fish. It could have been a whale. It could have been something else. It could have been a fish. Technically, a whale's not a fish. But it could have been some sort of mammal or fish that never before or after has appeared. Never before appeared and never after. God prepared this fish to swallow Jonah. And the fact is that was pointing to a miracle. God was performing a miracle. Think about it. The preparation of a special fish to swallow his prophet. At the exact time when the prophet's being thrown overboard, there appears this fish to swallow him. Takes him down to the bottom. He spends 3 days and three nights in the belly of this fish. Call it a whale. Fine. And he comes to repentance in the belly of this fish. And God moves him towards his journey and spits him out on the shore of Nineveh. From beginning to end, it's a miracle. It's what's being pointed out. The fish is a miracle. The existence of Jonah in the belly of the fish for 3 days and nights is a miracle. And him coming to repentance, a miracle of faith and repentance, and then brought to the shore of Nineveh and spat out on that shore. All a miracle, right? Couldn't have been anything else but a miracle. In fact, some energetic people, maybe, I think they are Christians, maybe not. There's the story of James Bartley. Have you ever heard that story of James Bartley? James Bartley was the man, supposedly, that was swallowed whole by a whale and lived for several days. They got him out of that whale, and they lived for several days while in that belly, the belly of this whale. Of course, it's fictitious. It's made up. It's not true. It's impossible for a person to exist in the belly of a fish for 3 days and three nights, in the bottom of the sea, in the bottom of the ocean, and then brought all that way. It's impossible. It just doesn't happen. It's never happened before except once, and that was with Jonah. So just to set us straight about that, there's stories about people being swallowed whole and being brought, existence. They're not true. A lot of stories out there. So that God prepared this fish, and this fish swallowed him, and he spent 3 days. He came to repentance, and he was brought to Nineveh. Is all a miracle to point out that salvation is of the Lord, that salvation itself is a miracle. And that's the point. That's the point of all this. That's what Jesus is pointing out. That's the sign of Jonah. The sign of Jonah is this, that salvation is of the Lord. That salvation is brought about by a miracle from God, of God. It has to be a miracle. It can only be a miracle. It's not of him who wills or him who runs. It's not of man's power, but always and only all the glory goes to God. And Jesus Christ. Never to man. Never to any of us. And if God were not involved from beginning to end, it would never happen for any of us. And therefore, we know too in our text here, in the gospel, that Jesus calls Jonah and the fish a sign. A miracle is always a sign of something greater than itself. We've talked about this before, right? You get healings from cancers and healings from, you know, various diseases. They go away. People focus in their attention on their soul in prayer and deeply. And if you are paying attention to your soul, your body will heal. Not always, not altogether, but healings can happen through focus, prayer, and attention on your soul, and with God there, it can bring about. That's not a miracle. They have a name for that, psychosomatic healings, or healings of the, you know, will. The power of the will, willpower, mind over matter, that kind of stuff. The world has names for it. That's what happens. It still happens. To thousands and thousands of people it happens. But those are not miracles. A miracle is always a sign and a wonder of something greater than itself. And the sign and wonder of Jonah being swallowed by a fish and brought to Nineveh in full repentance and preaching a negative message, by the way, to the Ninevites. It was very negative. In 40 days, this is what he preached, in 40 days, your city will be destroyed. That was it. Why? He hated the Ninevites. He didn't want to give them good news. He didn't want them to be saved. He was grumpy. He was grouchy. He was nasty. He did it. Even after he repented, he did it. But he was negative and nasty. 40 days. And all of you, your whole entire city are going to be destroyed. That's what he preached. That's it. But God used it in a wonderful way. Now, I just want to clear up something else about Jonah and the fish swallowing him, and the fact that that was a sign of Christ being in the earth. You see, you don't want to take this sign in the wrong way, right? We don't want to make too much or too little of it. We want to do the right thing here. So there are some that argue that Jonah is a type of Christ. Not really. Jesus says that it's the sign of Jonah, meaning the sign that the Jonah being swallowed by the fish and brought, you know, is a sign. Not necessarily a type. And it's a sign that he is going to be, just as Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and 3 nights, Jesus is going to be in the belly of the earth. Jesus is going to be in the grave for 3 days. That's it. It's not more than that, or much more than that. It's not pointing out the fact that Jonah is a type of Christ, and that he is pointing out the death of himself, that Jonah somehow died in the fish's belly and was resurrected onto life, just as Jesus died and was resurrected on the cross and was resurrected onto life. It's not a sign of that. It's a sign of Jesus being buried. And it's part, Jesus being buried is part of the message of salvation, right? Him crucified, dead, and buried. But that's what it's a sign of. And we want to be careful not to go beyond what the scripture allows here. It allows us to interpret Jonah being swallowed 3 days, three nights in the belly of the fish, in the belly of a whale, you could say, doesn't matter, because that's not the point. What kind of fish? It's a special prepared fish. It's a miraculous fish. And this was a miraculous happening to Jonah, and it was a miraculous thing that he preached a negative message, and it brought about the repentance of an entire city. That's the point of it. It's all miracle. And Jesus, his death, brings about the miracle of our salvation. And that's the interpretation, the correct interpretation of the sign of Jonah or Jonas. The sign of Jonah and Jonas is that salvation is of the Lord, and salvation is a miracle. It is not the exercise of human free will. It is not the exercise of man's worth or his works or his words. Not even the pastor's words, the preacher's words, the prophet's words. It's not any of that. Salvation is a miracle from first to last. And that's what you have to enjoy here. That's the sign of Jonah. Just as Jonah was saved by miracle, we are saved by miracle. Not by worth, not by merit, not by human effort, not by human willpower. None of that can be. All the glory for our salvation goes to God and Christ alone. And none, absolutely zero, none to us. That has to be the clear message. Certainly from the Reformation it's been the clear message. Even before then, many said it. And of course the Bible clearly says it. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And so that's the similarity between Jonah and the fish and Christ and his burial. Salvation is a miracle. Jesus says in the Gospel of Luke that the miracle of Jonah was a sign to the Ninevites. That's in Luke's Gospel, chapter 11, verse 30. Just want to read that again because it's difficult. Jesus says here in Luke chapter 11, verse 30, he says, "For as Jonas was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation." Kind of understand why the Son of Man could be a sign. But how is Jonah a sign to the Ninevites? I'm really clear about that. Some say that the Ninevites must have known that he was in the belly of this fish for 3 days and three nights. He was spat upon the land. Some of the Ninevites saw it and the word got out because they couldn't really get it from his message. His message was negative. His message was simply in 40 days, this entire city shall be destroyed. That was it. How do you get the gospel out of that? But they did. That the gospel, that salvation is a miracle brought about by repentance. Through faith and repentance. Somehow they got it. And Jesus indicates that in Luke. It doesn't explain it totally. But we're assuming that the Ninevites heard the gospel message. That the Messiah was coming. That Christ was coming. That Christ was the Savior. And that salvation is of the Lord. Through that negative message of Jonah. Somehow. It was made clear. And so we had this wonderful salvation. And God used means. In this particular case, in the case of Jonah, he used the storm, the rebuke of the heathen sailors, and the specially prepared fish. He used his disobedient prophet to bring the gospel to the Ninevites, first making him a demonstration of his great salvation in the way of Jonah's disobedience and his consequences. He made Jonah such a living example because even after he repented, Jonah remained, and this is a commentator saying this, Jonah remained reluctant and grudging, trying to fulfill his commission by proclaiming only Nineveh's imminent destruction. You know what that reminds me of? It reminds me of what Paul said about the preachers who were coming with a bad motive. What did Paul say to the Corinthians and others? He said, I don't care what their motive is. So long as Christ crucified is preached, doesn't matter. And it seems to be the case here with Jonah. Jonah was cranky, he was nasty, he was negative. He only had a negative message. He preached the impending doom of the city, and yet the whole city repents. Here's the gospel of salvation, repents and believes and embraces Jehovah God. It doesn't matter, dear people. It doesn't matter what my motive is. It doesn't matter where I'm at. So long as the truth is being taught and told, that's what matters. That's what brings salvation and sanctification. It's not the pastor's personality or good looks or, in my case, bad looks. It doesn't matter. What matters is the Word of God, the truth of God is preached, and God's people will see the truth and hear the truth because He is working in them miraculously to believe the truth. It doesn't depend on the man or the motive. It's the mission. And the mission is to represent Christ and His truth. And that Word will bring about salvation. Not the man. Not the measure of the man. Jonah was... he was cranky, man. He was not nice. He didn't like the Ninevites. He didn't want them saved. At all. None of them. And all of them got saved. Because God's salvation is all of God. And His plan and purpose is His. And His alone. And He's going to bring it about no matter who the obstacle is. Even in this case, the prophet himself and his cranky, nasty attitude. Brothers and sisters, I have mentioned before to you that every single day we are walking in a miracle in two ways. The creation was a miracle. It wasn't evolved. It didn't evolve into all this. It wasn't an accident, anything like that. It was miraculously brought about. So we're walking every single day, whether we believe it or not, we're walking in a miracle. For God spoke and everything came into existence. That's miraculous. Likewise, we are walking miracles ourselves because in spite of ourselves, in spite of the man that's preaching to you, whomever it was, in spite of our sinful nature, in spite of the fact that we would all go to hell by choice, if it was up to our choice. We'd all go to hell. In spite of all that, we're saved by grace through faith. And that's because of miracle. We're walking in a miracle every day, and we are miracles ourselves because our salvation is miraculous. It brings up a song, and I'll just quote this. It's from the Psalter, and it's part of Psalm 107 that the mariners could have sung, and Jonah himself could have sung, and we can sing as well. They that traffic on the sea, while unceasing watch they keep, see Jehovah's majesty and his wonders in the deep. For he bids the storm wind fly, lifting ocean waves on high. By the billows heavenward toss, down to dreadful depths again, troubled much their courage lost, reeling they like drunken men, find their skill and power overthrown, none can save but God alone. To Jehovah then they cry, in their trouble, and he saves, drives the darkness from the sky, calms the storm and stills the waves, makes their sad forebodings cease. To their haven guides in peace. From beginning to end, we belong to the Lord. He will see us through into heaven's glory. All for him. All the credit, all the glory, all the honor to God in Christ alone. Praise his holy name. Let us pray. Heavenly Lord, thank you. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for the wonderful salvation that we have. A miracle indeed. The sign of Jonah was given to that generation, even to the Ninevites, and it saved them. The sign of Jonah is given to that generation in Christ, and only that generation, and to our generation as well, as Christ, that Christ is the Savior, that salvation is a miracle from beginning to end. The miracle of salvation, so wonderful. It can only be that. Lord, it can only be that when we strip away everything and bring it down to the basic. The basic is it's a miracle. It goes against the grain. It goes against everything we are and everything we do that we are saved. But we are. We're saved by the miracle of your grace. Continue to work in us the will and do of thy good pleasure. May your word be proclaimed by us, not only by our lips, by our mouths, but also by our works. And we pray in your name these things. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for our salvation. In your name we pray with thankfulness and gratitude. Amen.